Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Noon hour here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you as we get an hour closer to kickoff of this 2024 season. Reminder, pregame coverage right here on your home for the Chiefs at 4 o'clock. Here on 96.5 The Fan, and a man you're going to hear during the broadcast tonight throughout the entire season as well as a former Chief, that's Danan Hughes, and he joins us for his weekly conversation here on the show, and he's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danan, we made it, man. How you feeling? I know you probably still get like the former player almost feeling like game day vibes, a little bit different than us as fans too.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go, bro. It's game day. Nothing like opening day. Obviously, we've been spoiled here in the Chiefs Kingdom playing on Thursday night to open the season these last 2 years. So, yeah, it's time. It's go time, man. We got the Ravens coming in. They're going to be breathing fire. They remember that taste in their mouth that was left back in Baltimore in February. So, like, yeah, it's time to go, man. We've been talking about this all season, all year long. We've been talking about the Chiefs and the three-peat run. It starts tonight. So, yeah, I'm amped up.
What is the single biggest reason you think they will or won't repeat as three-peat champions? So if you think there's a big reason why they will or a reason why you think that would stop them, what is it, Danan?
Injuries. Injuries, who knows? You know, we've been very lucky. You know, you look back on 2019 when Patrick Mahomes, you know, had the dislocated kneecap. And he was able to come back. And, you know, if that had gone differently, who knows how this run would have fared since then. And the ankle injury last year and him coming back. So, I mean, we've been very fortunate. Travis Kelce being the bulldog, Iron Man that he's been. You know, it just seems like whether it was L'Jarius Sneed or Chris Jones or Tyreek Hill in the past, just seems like we've never had that situation where a guy was lost for an entire year, or we didn't have any hopes that he would be back to end the season or at least make a playoff run. So the first thing that comes to mind, you definitely have to be fortunate, you have to be blessed, but injuries, if we are healthy in January, like, who wouldn't like our chances?
And even though there is one wide receiver injury heading into this one, we know Hollywood Brown's not going to play. The rest of the wide receiver room, I think everybody feels great about heading into this one, heading into the season. But one player in particular, because we haven't seen him in an NFL game yet, that's Xavier Worthy. There seems to be a ton of excitement. But what do you expect in game one for the Chiefs to try to do with him here against the Ravens?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw last year with Rashee Rice. If you remember, they kind of slow played Rashee Rice in this offense. He had some ball security issues from the preseason. Wasn't necessarily running at, I would say, full tank. And what I mean by that is that although he was healthy, there's a transition process. And especially if you're a wide receiver, you come from the college level, you might have all the abilities. You play in a spread offense, but the communication, the checks, the fact that, you know, for me, even back when I played, we played Washington when they were number one in the country, and they had several defensive players that went on to the NFL. But for the most part, even if I played Ohio State, Michigan, whoever else, there might have been two, maybe three guys on the defense that were NFL caliber. Well, here, all 11 guys are NFL caliber, and you have to make that adjustment. So I feel like what we saw with Rashee Rice and how Andy Reid and Matt Nagy kind of brought him along last year and then turned the corner right around that bye week, that's what I kind of see with Xavier Worthy. Might be a little bit faster, might be accelerated a little bit quicker, but for the most part, I don't see him out there for 60 plays on this offense from day one. I feel like he's going to be spoon-fed his packages so he can be comfortable, get acclimated to the speed of the game, and then we'll see slowly more and more put on his plate.
Do you think that they're going to want to put the league on notice? I mean, the way they executed in training camp, you would certainly think that the deep passing game is something they're going to try for and try early and often this season. I feel like they want to get that feeling back so they can get these teams back on their toes a little bit versus knowing that they're going to be somewhere inside of 12 yards.
Well, absolutely. I think the deep ball, people don't understand the timing, the touch, the precision, the fact of being on the same page. What goes into completing a deep pass? Everyone thinks that, okay, if the faster guy wins, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback to play, he can make the throw. But what we've seen at times where Patrick has missed a throw, maybe had a little bit more gasoline on the throw than he should have, maybe didn't anticipate the speed of the receiver in that circumstance. And that's a work in progress. It's not automatic because we haven't seen it consistently since, what, Tyreek Hill left. So to me, it's not necessarily, I don't feel like there's going to be like a maturation process or anything like that. Like, they're going to come out, and if Patrick sees an exposure in the defense, he's going to take his chance. And I feel like the Ravens, because of their aggressive approach, how they play downhill, how they blitz, how they like to expose their DBs and man-to-man coverage, I feel like there's going to be at least a couple of chances where we can see that speed on display by not just Xavier Worthy, but also Mecole Hardman and the rest of the receivers. So I don't expect that we're going to see a difference in the play calling or we're going to do check down Charlies all day. Like, Patrick's going to take his opportunities to take the top off the defense, if for no other reason, to let John Harbaugh and the Ravens know that we're willing to do so. So you better, you know, loosen up on the double coverage and triple coverage of Travis Kelce in the middle of the field.
We're talking to former Chiefs wide receiver Dayton Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him a little bit later on tonight as the Chiefs are right here on 96.5 The Fan. He'll be on with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, and Dan Israel. What on the other side with the Baltimore offense? You saw him up close and personal in the AFC title game, obviously, up there in Baltimore. Now they have Derrick Henry. They also have a wide receiver in Zay Flowers coming off a big mistake that I'm sure he's thought about the entire offseason. They didn't run the ball in that AFC title game, Dane, and we all know that. So with Derrick Henry, I mean, you think they're going back to trying to run this thing close to 20 times?
1,000%. Like, I feel like you don't go and acquire Derrick Henry if you plan on play action and throwing the ball down the field. I feel like they're going to be more balanced to some extent. But when he's in the backfield, although he's been better at catching the ball in these last few years than he was early in his career, I don't anticipate that being a staple of their offense. Maybe some screens just to get him out in space with a couple of offensive linemen lead blocking for him. But make no mistake about it, John Harbaugh, that entire Ravens organization have probably woken up in a cold sweat 100 times since that AFC championship game, where thinking, why didn't we run the ball more than 6 times? Why didn't we take up the clock? Why didn't we ice Patrick Mahomes on the sideline in our own building? This is an opportunity, especially with it being week one, where they can kind of correct that and they can commit themselves to the run game in Arrowhead Stadium. And they recognize, especially with the crowd noise, how amped it's going to be. If you don't want to put Lamar in a position where he's not going to be able to hear things, he's not going to be able to process as quickly as you would like, they're going to run the ball. So John Harbaugh, that organization, they have heard it over and over, the mistake they made in the AFC Championship with only running the ball 6 times. I fully expect that we'll see a heavy dose of the run game, whether it's design runs with Lamar or just basic ground and pound with Derrick Henry, to the tune of at least 20-25 plays.
It's one of those questions we only ask at the beginning of the season, Dayton. What do you think their record will be at the end of the year?
Yeah, and I get that. I've gotten that question, started doing media and pregame, postgame shows, and and analyst work since 2000. I retired in 99 and 2000 immediately thrown in. And I feel like I've gotten that question every single year. And I've answered it very similarly, especially since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. If God had his hand over the entire NFL, guys, and not one injury was sustained, would you want to play against the Chiefs in the playoffs?
Hell no.
So then, like, if I say 13-4, 14-3, 12-5, like, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things if you're an opponent having to face the Chiefs in the postseason? So for numbers' sake, because I know you, that's what you want me to say, I'm going to go with, I feel like 13-4 is a good number. But what, like we saw last year at 11-6, we're still able to win the Super Bowl. So I don't really get too caught up in it.
I was always, and I never understood it during the Patriots run. There were Chiefs fans here and hosts here to be like, no, I want to take out the big dog. I'm like, hell with that. If you were any team in the league, Danny, you should be praying somebody does you the favor of not having to face the Chiefs in the postseason. Avoid them as long as you can.
Absolutely. And anybody that wants to allow their ego to puff out their chest and say they want to go through the best, they're idiots. And their career probably won't last very much longer as a player. Like, you want the path of least resistance, and if it happens to be the Chiefs, then you're just going to take a deep breath and hope for the best and prepare for the best. But nobody's signing up for that. Like, you know, if you can fight Popeye versus olive oil, you're gonna choose olive oil every single week. And I feel like that's the case, just from an athlete's mindset.
Dan, and appreciate it, man. We'll let you get going. Busy day for you, and then we'll check it next week, hopefully heading into a Cincinnati game where the Chiefs can get to 2-0.
Sounds like a plan, fellas.
There you go. Let's do it. There's Dan and Hughes. He'll be on the broadcast tonight, color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network right here on 96.5. The Fan pregame coverage starts at 4 o'clock, and our conversations with Dan are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.
No, I never understood it during the Patriots run. I'm like, you should not ever be like, I want to beat the Chiefs to prove we're worthy. Don't. You're not going to win that game 99% of the time. Don't wish for the difficult path. Like last year, even as the Chiefs fan, I didn't want them to have to play Miami, play Buffalo, play Baltimore, and play San Francisco. I wanted them to face four loser teams who had no chance of actually winning the game. Now, they went through it because they're the Chiefs. Root for the easiest possible path. Don't be sad that your division's easier if you're in the AFC West and you're the Chiefs. You're not hardened or tougher because you did the road harder travel. Just win the games, which is what the Chiefs are better at than everyone else.
I think the best example of what Danny was saying, like, hey, the record doesn't matter because you don't want to play them the postseason. Last year is that. That is the prime example, Exhibit A, if you're going to make that point. And that's why no matter what happens tonight, whether it's week 8 or whatever, there will be some point where people are frustrated and think, oh my gosh, this is an issue that's not correctable or whatever. It is going to be nearly impossible for you to convince me at any point this season that, like, oh, this isn't, let's just say it's number 2 corner, let's, whatever. Oh man, they're just not good enough in this area, Cody. They will not be able to overcome it. BS. There is nothing other than what he said. The
major
health of Patrick Mahomes. Other than that, there is nothing that you can tell me like, man, they're just not good enough to win it this year because they're weak at this spot. Last year proved that is not reality when Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are linked together.
Yeah. No, they can win under any circumstance. They're just the last person you want to face. This goes back to the whole like Mahomes versus Lamar. That was at one point pitched as a possibility because Mahomes versus Burrow, Mahomes versus Allen. Someone will say Mahomes versus Stroud, whatever, at some point this year. The problem, as it relates to what you're talking about in the postseason, the reason why it's not Mahomes versus anybody, it's all of you trying to climb to the mountaintop to challenge Patrick Mahomes. Why it's a way bigger game tonight for Lamar Jackson than it would ever possibly be for Patrick Mahomes. In the postseason, Patrick Mahomes takes his game to a completely different level. He's already the best quarterback in the league. But when the pressure's on and he has to make a run against the Tennessee Titans or find a drive in overtime of the Super Bowl trailing against the 49ers last year, no matter the challenge, no matter what the odds are or stacked up against, or he's got to do a jet chip wasp because their team can't block, he will do it. In a Super Bowl, in a playoff game, he will do it. Lamar to this point has been the opposite of that. In big moments and crowning moments against the Chiefs and other teams, he's wilted a little bit. Joe Burrow has done a better job of playing big in big games. Josh Allen's done a better job of playing big in big games, although he's lost some of those games he's played well in. Lamar, his biggest problem of those three guys is his big game reputation is the worst of the four. I mean, Mahomes is the best, obviously, but even of the next three guys, his big game reputation is the worst. He doesn't show up for those. He's got a huge one tonight. Opening NFL season against the team who took you out in your building last night. Like, he's got a...
Yeah, I mean,
I think they might press as a result of that.
It sets the tone for the rest of the year, but I'll still say, you know, for Lamar, it's how people view him.
He's winning in January.
He's at such a level now, and by being a two-time MVP, where he's in the... When we do the debates of Brady Mahomes, and, you know, sometimes we're like, well, that's not a fair thing to judge them on. Well, when you're talking about specifics of, in that conversation, greatest of all time, you nitpick every little thing.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson is in that territory. We all know he's really freaking good. He's a two-time MVP. There have not been many of those in the NFL, and especially when he's in his 20s, he's still in his 20s. So he's in unique, you know, rare company there. But he, because of that, is judged solely now on what he will ultimately do, and that is getting to a Super Bowl or not. So yes, tonight is a huge stage for Lamar Jackson. It can set the tone for their season. It can send a message about the type of team they're going to be and show that, hey, that performance in the AFC title game, that wasn't them. That's fine. That's true. But ultimately, Lamar and the Ravens, what they do in the postseason is all that people are going to judge him on, and that's the territory he's in now. Will he ever get to a Super Bowl or not? That's the next question, and that's what he'll be judged on. Until he gets to a Super Bowl or wins one, that'll be the next step, people are going to push him back,
okay,
you know, compared to some of these other guys, even though he's a two-time NFL MVP.
So, same list, but let's toss in Stroud. Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Stroud. Which of those guys do you think wins the Super Bowl first?
I mean, I think based off of...
Drew's answer is Burrow. We don't have to... He already picked him to win the Super Bowl this year, so...
I'll go with our expectations from this... Do I think it happens this year? No, but based on my preseason prediction, I guess my answer has to be Stroud, because I actually this year have them in the AFC title game losing to the Chiefs, but if I think their quarterback's capable of getting there this year, then I guess that'll be my answer, even though Joe Burrow, of course, has actually made one. But I'll go with CJ Stroud. I think he jumps the line.
I think... Oh, man.
I think he's ahead of Josh Allen and Lamar.
Why, though? Josh Allen has not played bad in the postseason. Well, he just can't get past Mahomes.
Yeah, I think the thought is maybe the Bills aren't as good as what he's
saying. Correct. If you look defensively, what they are, wide receiver-wise, what they are.
But how many years away are we that from saying that about Cincinnati? So if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, I'm 1 year away from saying Cincinnati as good as they used to be.
I think that's a good point, but the Bills don't.
I got 3 years of Stroud.
It'll be interesting to see how good Keon Coleman is, because wide receiver-wise, the Bengals are going to at least have, theoretically, Ja'Marr Chase moving forward, and they're going to have... It doesn't all have to be... Josh Allen has done everything for that team, where Joe Burrow's had some help in terms of Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I know Stephon Diggs has been really good for Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's had to do everything for them to figure it out. Defensively, I think, has been their big thing, is they've had the good defense, and they haven't won. Where Houston's got the wide receivers and the rookie contract of the quarterback. I think it's almost as simple as that, I guess. At least for me.
Yeah, my answer is Stroud only because of that. He has...
Do we all say Stroud
years,
then?
He has 4 years remaining of a rookie...
For me, behind Joe Burrow, but
He has 4 years remaining of a rookie contract. That is more valuable than any of the other things we're talking about right now, if you think he has a potential to be a top 5 to 7 quarterback over the next 4 years, which obviously, based on last year, I do.
How good was their defense last year?
Pretty damn good. Will Anderson is great.
They added Danielle Hunter.
And they added Danielle Hunter to that defense. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, the coaching aspect of this. We all agree John Harbaugh is a really, really good coach in Baltimore, one of the best to ever do it. Zach Taylor, I still think the jury's out a little. I know he got a contract extension, but still, like, I still have a little bit of a question on him. D'Amico Ryan, great showing year one. I think this is a big year for him on top of it, just to show that now that there's expectations. Yeah. Can they meet the moment with that?
I think Zach Taylor fits the standard more of a player's coach, where the players really like him,
but he
isn't a guy, to your point, Gold, where you would say, yeah, Zach Taylor's a top five coach in the NFL, and it's I don't think he's not in that conversation
I'm still on the fence with Zach Taylor. Like, he's shown some things that make him a pretty good coach, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some of it maybe is unfair. Like, he has a great quarterback. And so the quarterback's going to get all the credit. Like, Andy Reid was already a great coach before Mahomes, so they both get credit. Yeah. Whereas Zach Taylor, I don't know if he'll ever get credit, but that's why I have a question. You know, that's kind of how I see the situation.
I think it's fair
there.
To say that there still are some question marks around him. Look, if Joe Burrow's healthy and they miss the playoffs, he's gone. I don't think there's a question about that.
If they miss the playoffs again and he's healthy the entire year, yeah, they'll can his ass. And they'll go after Ben Johnson or somebody else.
Yeah, my prediction, though, is still that Ben Johnson will be the head coach of the Chicago Bears next year. The Bears will win 8 games this year. Caleb Williams will be great, but they won't get to the playoffs. And then they'll fire Eberflus, even though he's got a brand new haircut and everything, and looks completely different. New man. But then Ben Johnson will be the head coach of the Chicago Bears next year.
Man, Eberflus is looking pretty good.
He changed the whole style up.
You can almost say that Zach Taylor's in the same conversation, though, as Mike McDaniel, where you don't know where to put them as a head coach.
I think Mike McDaniel's a million times more innovative than Zach Taylor.
I think he's innovative, but does that mean that he's a really good football coach? Because
in today's day and age, I grade that pretty highly.
I do too, because it's worked for Shanahan and McVay and Reed. Like, the guys I think are the best coaches in the NFL, I think possess that skill set.
I agree that that's really important.
Would I have him above Zach Taylor? I would. If I had to choose him as the Chiefs head coach, I'd choose
Zach. But do you have him above a guy like
Daniel?
Like John Harbaugh, John Harbaugh is a damn good football coach, but in terms of what the defenses are always good, but it's not, but you don't look at John Harbaugh and say, because of John Harbaugh, they are in these situations
the rings on his finger.
He does have a ring, and I give him credit for innovation too. I will never forget that John Harbaugh in week 7 of a season changed his offense from Joe Flacco, the biggest statue of all time, being his offensive quarterback, to Lamar Jackson. And they didn't even skip a beat. They got better. And so, no, he can innovate. He does it. He's the old school innovator, kind of like Andy.
All right, coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day, and thank goodness that losing streak is snapped for the Royals and what it now means for the rest of the way with only, 21 games to go. We'll tell you why they're in fine position.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Position next. Back here, Cody and Gold on 96.5. The Fan, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in about a half hour, we'll be joined by Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. Week 1 tonight. Plenty of games this weekend, of course. So you got your fantasy football lineups. You did your draft. You tried to figure out who should he actually start, especially in our Cody and Gold Guillotine League. So we'll get some advice from Paul Charchian coming up at 1:00. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
I'm excited for fantasy, but I'm in more leagues than I've been in a while.
We've talked about this, yes.
4 leagues is a lot for me, and you're in 5, and Charch is probably in 32. I don't know.
Yes, it's quite a few. Quite a few leagues, but I love this time of year, man. You're trying to go ahead.
I don't know if I should feel worried about our league. I'm like third worst odds right now. I got the third lowest projected score.
Based off projections, one of us, and I guess you maybe are in line to get eliminated
from best to last potentially.
And Guillotine is a possibility that could happen.
Where are you projected at?
You are both projected high, like top 5, nice. I believe. Ooh.
The projections can be in week 1.
I think Cody's
way
top, and then you're inside the top 5.
Week 1 projections can be way off.
I mean, yeah.
I am confident. Again, I think Ja'Marr Chase is playing, but looking at my roster, I think I need Ja'Marr Chase to play in order to make it. If he does not for whatever reason, then I might be toast.
So we'll talk fantasy football coming up in about 25 minutes. But let's talk about the Royals just here for a little bit, because thank goodness we're not discussing an 8-game losing streak. They snapped the losing streak. You guys know that. Yesterday at Kauffman Stadium, and it was Tommy Pham Seth Lugo in particular, that led the charge for this team, Tommy Pham, with the big three-run home run. He's been really good since they acquired him, and he's kind of found a home in the leadoff spot for this time being, and honestly, probably the rest of the season, it looks like, based off of what he's contributing there. I just saw also today Hunter Renfro. We were discussing with Vern, like, hey, how quick is that rehab assignment? Oh, just a day.
They just wanted to get some swings in, I guess.
Yeah. Just one day. You saw that, right? He returned from rehab, so he's going to be playing Friday at Kauffman Stadium, which will be a huge boost to the lineup. But you just needed to be able to take a deep breath after yesterday, and that's what they did. They actually gained a game back or a half game on the wild card race again with some of the other results. So the division was the damage. That losing streak, ultimately we can now say the division is what got damaged and probably is over. We said it's over. Wild card, though, they're actually in the same spot, but a better spot because there's fewer games remaining in the season.
Barring a meltdown from the Guardians, because that is what it would take, but the same thing applies. They are closer to the Guardians now. They are 4.5 games back of the Guardians. They are 5.5 games up on three different teams for the wild card. They are closer to the division lead than losing their playoff spot. They're now tied with the Twins, who do hold the tiebreaker, so are currently in the second wild card spot. Oh, who do they face this weekend, Gold? Oh, three straight games against the Twins? So they can make their own, fate on that one as well. The point is they're safe. Like, they are in an okay position. Last night, what they desperately needed last night was just a chance to catch their breath. It doesn't mean all their problems are solved. They still have offensive issues. They got the home run from Tommy Pham last night and another absolutely perfect start from Seth Lugo. But then they didn't get much offense after that. It went whisper quiet. And it was pretty quiet before Tommy Pham's homer. But they got the big hit from somebody that wasn't Bobby, that wasn't Salvi, somebody else who could help them win a football game last night, and they got it from Tommy Pham. But they won the way they normally win. They only needed two bullpen arms, Bubich and Urseg, because Seth Lugo went 7 shutout innings. A day after, Golden, I think we correctly said, they could not afford a single lapse from any starting pitcher the rest of the way. Time's almost up, though. Like, I mean, teams would have to finish 10 games above 500 the rest of the way to catch the Royals, and the Royals would still have to finish below 500 in order for that to be caught. So, I mean, like, clock's ticking. Like, I mean, that's just the reality here.
No, the math's on the Royals' side for the wild card race. Not on the divisional race, but the math's on their side for the wild card race based off of just the amount of games left. And you wonder, now that you get the losing streak stopped, I think it was Bobby Witt Jr. before the game yesterday. This was before they had already snapped the losing streak. I don't think this was after the game. I can't remember. I want to say it was before, but he was asked just about the losing streak and where things were at, and the timing. It's better now than October.
We lost yesterday, move on today, and move forward. And you can't really think about that. A lot of teams go through this, and so people are really kind of, people say, oh, wow, this is a big, big deal, but really it's just kind of rather do it now than do it when we get into October. So now we just got to learn from it and move on.
That was before they snapped the losing streak yesterday. That was in the afternoon. But of course, yeah, I mean, if you were to be optimistic, Cody, you could say, all right, they got their worst baseball of the season out of the way, which is true. Is it a challenge without Vinny? No doubt. But Hunter Renfro comes back. Are they going to be a looser team tomorrow because they snapped the losing streak? I think so. And then can they at least get some momentum as they head towards the back end of this month and ultimately the start of the postseason? Because this team is going to make the playoffs. What kind of baseball they're playing heading in will determine how people, of course, are feeling about what they can accomplish there.
Yeah, I would say so, because that will determine it. But the same thing applies. If they're going to pitch, they can beat teams. They can beat good teams. The Guardians are one of the best records in all of baseball. Did they win the series? No, but how did they stay in some of these games against Cleveland? Pitch. Starting pitch. Like, and if they can hang with that, the Yankees are still the team that scares me a little bit, and the Astros, because they're always in it. They're kind of like the little bit of the Chiefs of baseball. They win a lot of titles. They're constantly in the ALCS. They're just annoying. But so, I don't think anything's out of question. That one just made me feel good for a second. Like, whew, okay. And it just happened to couple with everybody losing. So your lead, your comfort, your cushion got itself back up to 5.5 games. Because as of right now, the Red Sox are playing horrible baseball. As bad as the Royals have been over the last 10 games. That's how bad the Red Sox have played.
Yeah, they lost 5 in a row now.
And they've lost like 9 of 12. They play terrible, terrible baseball. The Mariners win one game, lose one game. Win one game, lose one game. The Tigers were white hot and then lost on a bad night. And that's what happens when you're trying to catch up from 9 or 10 games back, which is what they were 2.5 weeks ago. You can't afford if you're the Tigers. Like, the Royals can afford a 7-game losing streak and still be in a wild card spot. The Tigers, because of how far back they were, every time they slip up feels like the end of the world. The Royals, it might have felt that way to you, but it wasn't like that. Last night was just, I'll say, Tommy Pham, J.J. Piccolo, masterpiece this year of roster development. Absolute masterpiece. The offseason, the pitching, the trade deadline acquisitions. We know that Urseg, other than Hunter Harvey, who's still not back, but Urseg, and we talked about all the pitching. Like, I mean, Lorenzen was pitching so great. Everything was working. And then they got hurt. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do? And he's out here just plucking Tommy Pham off of the street, hitting leadoff for you, hitting big home runs in the middle of a playoff race. J.J. Piccolo was in his bag this year, and he had to work for it. What an easy year to be a GM of the Royals. He had to earn it a bit.
Yeah, they were aggressive in the offseason. You know, ownership allowed them to go out and spend some money and obviously have the right people in place to go out and make effective moves, and they've hit on both of them. You mentioned Hunter Harvey. That's going to end up probably being more. I know they hope he's back at the end of this regular season, but that might be more of something we have to judge next year to see. They've got more than just, it's not a half-season rental, so let's see what he is. I think what is clear is the 4 games we saw of Hunter Harvey, he was probably never healthy. And he was overused by the Nationals, and that's probably something that they were aware of it, but it probably was something they didn't think would lead to this kind of length of injury, and he had a setback and all that. That's going to be something that we're going to have to see next year when it comes to Hunter Harvey. But in terms of a Lucas Urseg, a Michael Lorenzen type who could be back in, what, 2 weeks or something like that? That would be nice. They obviously have continued at the pro level.
Yeah.
At the big league level, their scouting department there has been incredible the last year and a half, 2 years in particular. They've done a really good job evaluating talent on other clubs. You know, long term, let's see what the development's like in the minors with some of their recent draft picks. And
that'd be the next stage churn
through the system. But at the big league level, their evaluation / development there and tweaks have been very, very good.
Once Jack Caglione comes up next year and hits like 400, you'll feel fine, right?
Yeah.
What are you down 400. On Jack Caglione for?
I'm not down on him, but
Alex didn't want him called up. He's just, he's anti-Jack Caglione for no reason.
Not anti-Jack Caglione. I am just reacting to, I guess, Drew, you said it at the time too, but, and there were a lot of people.
Yeah.
Notion that they were at all considering calling him up when Vinny went down, I think was ridiculous.
I don't think they were considering it.
That was crazy.
Save the time.
They were not considering it. And while he had a slow start in A-ball.
But next year, second half of next year, maybe.
Even that seems a little early. Probably starts the year at AA, so I guess it's not out of the question.
Yeah, second half of next year, too, is the earliest we would see.
Cody, if you're saying the gold is low on Jack Caglione, you saying he's hitting 400 is...
Well, that's a little too high.
As astronomically, yeah,
I don't think he's going to be the first player to hit 400 since Ted Williams. Okay,
he's had a good week, but I think he was hitting when Vinny got hurt. I think Caglione in like A ball or something was hitting 200, 220.
No, but you got to like look back at, he's hitting way better than that. He started like 1-4, and I'd looked this up once. He started like 1-30 in the minor leagues, and then since then, he really is hitting like 400, which is not surprising because he was a 400 hitter in his final season in college, so you would think he'd be able to pick on some.
Yeah, but we can't just act like he's
Sky Carp. Okay, no. I don't think he's hitting 400 in the major leagues. I'm just saying, I didn't think he should actually be called up in place of Vinny.
He's hitting 250 for high A ball, okay?
Small sample size.
Patience.
Don't make me look up his stats for the last, like, 50. Don't make me do, I don't want to do that. I'm telling you, he started really poorly, now he's hitting great.
No, I'm
Jack Caglione, 2025? I'm hoping 2025. That's the most fun result, at least on that end. I'm just happy the Royals are back to their winning ways. Song is complete. Will air on Friday. Same bet applies. If you missed it earlier, they have lifted the ban. People were requesting a song because the Royals were in such a slump. They didn't know what to do. A guy came to Rally House yesterday and said, he was very clear. He said, I do not like the songs. I do not think they're good. Just let him do a song. We got to do anything at this point. That man was so desperate. He openly admitted to not liking my work, but still wanted it.
That was a funny interaction at the end of the show. Our boss was there too. It was good. I wish we had audio of it. It was terrific. No, they got a win. And so you feel better heading into tomorrow. And yes, the song will play tomorrow. It's done. That's what you said. I saw it in the system. I have not heard it.
I prefer song, you don't listen to me. I didn't hide it.
The song is not, the song is, because the streak is over, it's not by basically begging for a win. It's about the rest of the way.
So again, I had done a song once about the Royals in the middle of a losing streak called One More Win, and it was sad. Mm-hmm. And they won the game. They won the next two games of a doubleheader or whatever, and we all felt like pretty good about ourselves for a minute. But they were in the middle of a losing streak, in the middle of a terrible season. That was just meant to stop the bleeding. This song is more of a celebration. Excited about what the Royals can do the rest of the way. Continuing the win they got yesterday. But as I had promised, if they lose tomorrow night, I owe $96.50 to the show fund.
That's the renegotiated terms.
And no matter what, I have to... And then the ban is obviously reinstalled back to the 21st. And with no negotiation for that. I can't get back in,
that's right,
by the way.
That's right.
And I have to tell you what I got my wife for Mother's Day.
What? 2 years ago.
Are you willing to say what song you're covering?
No.
Okay.
It's better if everyone just, gets the secret themselves. It is upbeat. It is fun. Energetic is what I'll say.
Okay.
Random question.
That should give you enough to work on. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over in the text line, 913-586-7965. You can, of course, hit us up on the video streams. We're up live right now on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook at The Fan 965 or 965 The Fan. Question I have for you today is, I want to tell you a little story first, and then I want to ask you if these people should have known better. If you have not been paying attention to the news, there's been a social media trend called the money glitch, in which people of TikTok and Instagram had discovered a problem in Chase Bank's system that would allow you to deposit a check from your own checking account into the ATM, it not knowing that that money wasn't real for a long enough period of time that people were taking out hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in what they were calling a money glitch, thinking that the bank would not know that that money should have come from their account. Now, there are a lot of people taking to social media very upset. Some of them are negative $15,000, negative $20,000.
That's what I get.
And they're checking negative $31,000. That man was in tears. Yeah. The guy negative 31, he was lost.
Oh, yeah.
The question I have for you today is, should they have known better?
Okay.
Should they have known that this was check fraud?
Yes, because number one, the minute you started this whole thing with, did you hear the story about a money glitch? There is no such thing in life, unfortunately, as a money glitch. It's called Chiefsaholic stealing and robbing banks. That's not a money glitch. That will get you in prison. This is very similar. While it's fortunately nobody directly was harmed in this, going to an ATM, and in this scheme, it says they didn't know it was a scheme. BS.
Did you think that the bank was just going to let you keep free money?
They deposited a check for a large amount of money, mm-hmm. and then they logged back in, put their card back in, type in the PIN again, and then they withdrew like
all the money
of all
or
the
as
money
much
back.
As they would let him take. Yeah.
What did they think? And then so the guy crying that he's negative $30,000, he just thought he was getting $30,000 for free.
What did he do with that money?
Yeah, exactly.
Can't you give some of it back, or did you spend it all liquid? Like if you bought a car, at least you could sell the car. Yeah,
the way he was crying,
check
I think
fraud,
he spent it.
Check kiting, whatever you want to use.
An expert, Kimberly Palmer, a financial expert in this story, is quoted as saying, yep, that's pretty much just traditional check fraud. There's nothing really new about this.
This guy knew he didn't have $30,000 in his bank account. What did he expect was going to happen?
I mean, if you try to cash a fake check, and like for the brief time I worked at a bank, there's plenty of people, even in my brief time.
Back then, people were using checks more, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, but they're always trying to like bring in some check. I had to get in a big fight with, what was the family that they were a part of? I believe it was a Kemper at the time I was at the bank, and they tried to deposit a $500,000 check. It was a real check, but they had like $400 in their account. I'm like, look, I got to put this on hold. Like, why? I'm like, I don't know if they have $500,000. You got $400 in your account. Gold, you rolled in with $400 in your account trying to give me a check for $500,000. Like, get the hell out of here.
We're going to give you, we're going to make 1% of that available.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, go see your personal banker and they'll figure out whether or not you can actually see this.
I mean, honestly, these people are morons. Anybody that thinks they can go to an ATM, they know deep down that they don't have $30,000 in their bank account, and then it somehow lets them withdraw $30,000. It's clearly a glitch.
There had to have been a point in their conscience where they said, "This isn't a good idea. It's just not." Even though it's a trend, and even though it looks like it works, it's not a good idea.
So stupid.
It's not.
Did it say ultimately have these people been arrested?
They're not being arrested right now, but they are being asked to return a lot of the money. I will presume that a lot of them are going to face some criminal liability and what is clearly check fraud. But I mean, it was just going to be like, look, it's a money glitch.
All for a trend.
You just put in this check and then you take all your money out. You're like, that's, they're gonna, like, also, it's one thing to commit check fraud. People do it. I wouldn't recommend it, but people do it. And some people have gotten away with like kiting checks for a very long time. I would not recommend that if you are committing a crime, don't show you committing the crime, you know? Don't then offer, in addition to that, video evidence of you standing at an ATM committing the crime. I would never recommend that. Gold, if you're, you know, if for as much legal advice as we've given on the show, don't videotape your criminal activity. Feels like a pretty easy one, right?
Well, people probably didn't even, the overall thought process was,
I think some of them
was,
honestly thought it was just a glitch.
Was, it's a trend, it's a fun thing to do, I'm going to do it because it's a thing, and it's a bad thing that obviously can get you in serious trouble.
Yeah, there's no bank error that somehow benefits you.
What's the closest thing to a money glitch? The over 830 and a half for Travis Kelce this year? That's about closest for me on the money glitch department.
The Chiefs over on their win total. Yeah, over 11 and a half wins. It's something like that. But no, like any bank error, Cody, they may not catch it. You worked at a bank. They may not catch it that day or that week. Eventually, they're catching the error, whether it's a whether it's $100 error or $100,000 error. You remember there was a story a couple years ago where somebody, they clearly made a mistake in their bank account. They added like four zeros to their bank account. Somehow they had like, so all of a sudden
somebody clicked something they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they had millions of dollars in their account. And the person tried to flee the country. Like they withdrew the, like they somehow tried to get out of the country, bought a car. They got caught. Of course you're going to get caught.
The closest thing
someone must get away with a crime sometime, though, you know.
The closest thing
that's their argument.
The closest thing to a money glitch, I think, is the popular $1 for $200,000 winnings of anytime touchdown parlays for the entire week. Yeah. That's a popular thing I'm seeing. Like $5 to win $300,000 for.
Yeah, and even that, you're pretty much just giving them your $5.
Someone wants to know, what was your question?
Were they wrong for thinking it was a money glitch? Okay. That's what I asked. Yeah. I asked a question really early on. Mostly, I just wanted to discuss this story because it's just so utterly ridiculous. Other than that, what's your spread for tonight? Come on. It's an opening game. What, you're going to the game. You're actually going to cover it as a member of the
working media. So whatever the Chiefs have in the press box is the spread. So.
I will bet you $10 million it's chicken fingers at halftime because that's what it's
at
been.
At halftime? But what about
at
pregame?
Every Chiefs game.
Pregame.
Of, it's like four choices. There'll be a
like
pasta.
Like a chicken Alfredo pasta. Yeah. It works for me, man.
Yeah, there'll be that some sort good. Of there'll be some great. Sort of pasta in a mm-hmm. Schaefer dish. They'll have some rolls available to you.
The brownies at halftime, clutch.
And then, yeah, you can get a cookie or a brownie at halftime with your chicken fingers.
Yeah, I'll be out there very early tonight. Very, very early to avoid the traffic disaster that will inevitably be there during rush hour.
You don't think they figured it out this year?
No. Hmm. It's also going to happen right in the middle of rush hour. I mean, it's going to be a mess. Get out there early. People are already out there. We saw photos much earlier on today. People getting set, tailgating and everything. But I'll be out there. I think Mac and I are going from the station tonight.
Any time that these questions come up from the 816, I feel like the way Cody asked the question, he's thinking in his head about how he could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, what would you have done to avoid getting caught on this glitch? Would you have pulled out the money? And just
funny enough, you know, one of the financial experts who was talking about this is like, check kiting is really common, and it's hard for banks to catch if you just like write a check for $100, deposit it, and then write a check for $200, and like do it in a circle from four different bank accounts. But like, this is way too much money.
It's too complicated.
I'm not gonna try to commit check fraud. I haven't at this point in my life. Might as well. I haven't committed a crime in a long time. You know, I've been really holding true.
Someone points out, bank ops manager here, banking the most highly regulated industry in the country. The people that did this should be locked up. They're idiots. I tend to agree.
It's tough. Tough to go to jail just for being stupid. You know,
somebody said to put Felix down for a sec.
A lot of people are in prison because they're stupid. A lot of people are in prison because they're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Are there odds for a Felix sack tonight?
I'm sure.
I wonder what those odds would be. Plus money?
He got a half a sack. Is it over half a sack? Because he got a half a sack in the opening game last year. I have no idea. So.
I just wonder because this person says to do it. So.
Okay.
Drew has promised anything you text in, he will do. So for a bet tonight. Anything. That's what Drew has promised.
No, I did not. His name is not on a FanDuel.
Okay.
For sacks.
Yeah, the only defensive props are Chris Jones and Mike Dana.
I will not be giving you any money either, so that you can. I will not be giving you any money.
Yeah, if you give Alex $100, he'll.
Yeah, because of previous.
We'll turn that into more. The, that was a money glitch for that guy.
After Drew's couch incident on Facebook Marketplace, that person did get $100.
That is the money
for
glitch,
nothing.
I guess.
That is true. Hmm. And it's small enough amount of money that that person's not getting caught because you didn't report them.
No, I did, but the problem is one of the It was through Cash App said that they cannot do anything.
That's the problem right there, Cash App. That's the issue right there. Don't ever use Cash App.
Yes, that is that's the lesson learned. Along with just sending people money in the first place.
I think Zelle's always the sketchier one.
I think Zelle and Cash App are two of the more sketchy ones that you're kind of screwed if you send it to the wrong person kind of thing. Or they
scam you. Who did you send it to when you got scammed on those concert tickets?
That was through in Houston, but we got them back, remember? That wasn't Venmo. That might have been in my Cash App lesson back in the day. But I told you how that all played out. I was in Houston.
Yeah, you got him back.
Got screwed over on tickets for concert with Jay-Z and Beyonce. And then that same person posted another listing later on that afternoon. And I inquired from a different email address and said, hey, we're interested in the tickets. And so they sent me the first ticket because that's what they did the last time. And it was a real ticket or something. And then so I said, oh, actually, can you send me both? I just want to make sure they're real. And I never sent that person the money. So it ended up being a wash. And it was the same person, though.
Great.
So I actually got what I paid for.
Or nice. Are you sure it was the same person? And you didn't just scam somebody else?
Oh, I didn't scam
you scammed somebody else?
No.
You got scammed, so you just thought you could scam whoever you like?
No, it was the
like?
Same email address of the person from before. Good. I emailed them from a different email.
Smart.
But it was their same email. We got them back.
Smart.
Anyway, up next, thinking of...
Cody gives you an A-plus for that one, Gold.
Professor Tapp.
Week one, fantasy football lineups. Who are you going to play from the Chiefs and the Ravens? What about the rest of the weekend? Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com joins us next.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.